Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
Romans chapter 4, verse 1. Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. Amen. Just like we said in singing that song, we stand faultless before the throne. Not because we come to church, not because we're a do-gooder, not because of anything we do, but because of the blood of Jesus and faith in what Jesus did for us. He goes on to say, but that was not God's way. For the scriptures tells us, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. But people are counted as righteous not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives me, a sinner. This is where you apply it, not to him who works, but to him who believes in him who justified me, the ungodly, the sinner. God, you did it when I received the Lord Jesus' sacrifice. David also spoke of this when he described the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. Praise the Lord, that working thing, that treadmill of religiosity, trying to please God, can't never do enough. It's like the carrot right ahead of you, can't ever get it. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven. Hallelujah, aren't you glad today? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. Faultless before the throne you stand today if you have faith in the Lord Jesus. So you need to see yourself that way, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The devil, the accuser of the brethren, will put little seeds of guilt and shame and condemnation, make you feel like you're not enough, you'll never be enough. If you don't take hold of the word of God and meditate on it and let it be more real to you on the inside than any of the feelings or the accusations on the outside, you'll live a defeated life. But the victory is ours. It's finished. It is finished. He won. And you are in Christ. Yes, what joy for those whose sins, whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. Is this a blessing only for the Jews? Or is it also for uncircumcised Gentiles, which would be us? Well, we have been saying that Abraham was counted as righteous by God because of his faith. But how did this happen? Was he counted as righteous only after he was circumcised? No, he was circumcised when he was 100. God first spoke to him when he was 75 and had a vision. Was it counted as righteous only after he was circumcised, or was it before he was circumcised? Clearly, God accepted Abraham before he was circumcised. Circumcision is a sign that Abraham already had faith and that God had already accepted him and declared him to be righteous. And what's our sign today? It's baptism. Water baptism is a sign of I have received cleansing, and this is the outward sign, professing before all that I am a new creature. My sins have been cleared away in the water, the washing of the water of the word and the blood of Jesus. Even before he was circumcised. So Abraham is the spiritual father of those who have faith but have not been circumcised. They are counted as righteous because of their faith. Because Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. He doesn't say believeth not and aren't baptized. It's not like baptism saves us. But it's an important thing to do. You profess before man. He said, if you profess me before man, I'll profess you before my heavenly Father. It's just being a doer of the word of God. Goes on to say, and Abraham is also the spiritual father of those who have been circumcised, but only if they have the same kind of faith Abraham had before he was circumcised. And now even there, Ezekiel, it says, we've been circumcised in our hearts now. He's taken that stony heart, that part of us that wanted to sin, that didn't have any power over sin. Our will was so strong. We did what we wanted to do when we wanted to do it. He circumcised our heart and he gave us a new heart, a heart of flesh, a heart that wants to obey him, a heart that's longing to do his will, even though in the flesh we fail many times. And that was Paul's dilemma in Romans 7. Why do I do what I don't want to do and don't do what I do want to do? Oh, wretched man that I am. He was struggling with his inward man that didn't want to sin, that wanted to do God's will and wanted to surrender, but his strong flesh that kept veering off and trying to satisfy itself, which is all of us. So clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on the right relationship with God that comes by faith. If God's promise is only for those who obey the law, that's religion, that is you earning, you doing, then faith is not necessary. And the promise is pointless. For the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to not have a law to break. That's the whole purpose of the old covenant law, to show you you can't do it, you need a savior. I mean, I'm reading through the book of, it's Numbers right now, but we've gone through Leviticus, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's to read through that is so tedious, and so it just shows us, you know what? In no way any of us could do what needs to be done to have a right relationship with God. We needed Jesus to come and pay the price, and so that we could have an open heaven and a free access to come to God as if we never sinned. That's the good news, y'all. That is the good news of the gospel. So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham's. Abraham's was always faith in what was to come. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the scripture meant when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life. That would have been me. How many of you were dead? And he brought you back to life, dead in sin, and who created new things out of nothing. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. How many of you know there's reason to lose hope today? We're going to show you how to keep hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you'll have, as he looked up in the stars. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promised. Amen? And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too. assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him. The one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, he was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, he says that Abraham grew stronger and stronger, but, you know, I was thinking about it. He was on a journey, just like we're on a journey. And he had a lot of mess ups. I mean, first of all, he told him, leave your father, leave everything, leave your country, and go to the country that I tell you. And he took Lot with him. I didn't see that in the Bible. Maybe that Lot was maybe a security blanket for him. I don't know. But all along, God counts him as righteous. God acted like he never made any mistakes. He was growing stronger and stronger in faith. But there's a lot of fumbles along the way, just like we have a lot of fumbles along the way. But he sees our faith. And then he goes into Canaan and he keeps going because there's a famine. So he goes into Egypt. And then he gets afraid because he's afraid that Sarah's so beautiful that they're going to kill him. And so he protects himself. He said, Sarah, say that you're my sister, which was half a lie. She was half sister. And then there's strife between Abraham and Lot. And so there's a lot of things that Abraham did not just go like this. His faith did not. No, this is like our journey too. Have you noticed? Every step, there was a mess up. And he was gaining knowledge. He was gaining experience of God and himself. As he was growing and walking, God made a covenant with him. And then he goes. And then they produce Ishmael. I mean, but as we read Romans, it acted like Abraham grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God promised, he was also able to perform. But as you read the story, he was doubting a lot. And he was messing up a lot, just like we do. But it's our faith. It's coming back to God. And he said, God, how will I know, God? You know, it's okay. You can ask God that. You tell God exactly what you're feeling when you're doubting me all and say, God, help my unbelief. Because like Abraham, our faith will always be tested. We'll mess up. It's not about perfection, but it is about ownership. Own it when you mess up. Don't bury your sin and don't blame someone else or make excuses. Just own it. It's so easy to get free when we humble ourselves and own it. Some days you wake up and you'll feel so far away from God and any blessing. And other days you get up and you feel so confident like you're on top of the world and you're going to go help God out and produce an Ishmael. Sometimes I get more concerned with that state when I'm feeling good and on a roll and getting things done, because I know my tendency for self-confidence, emphasis on the self. But you know, Jesus is coming back, y'all. So what does it look like to, against hope, believe in hope? How can I know I'm ready for his return? I think about the parable that Jesus spoke of. The parable of starts out that Jesus spoke of some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Here's a good clue. Are you despising others? Take a good look at self-righteousness. Because that's our enemy, really. So two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and he said, he prayed to himself and said, thank you, God, that I'm not like the others. We have to be careful when it becomes us and them, because it's not God. And then the other one, the publican, beat on his chest and said, God, forgive me. Have mercy on me, oh God. And Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So how do we keep our faith in God in times when it's troubled? It's when we're going to have to abide, y'all. We got to abide. You have to guard your heart with all diligence, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It says now faith is the substance or the evidence or the surety of things that you're hoped for. Fear is the evidence of things not hoped for, the things you don't want to happen. And sometimes maybe you come to church because you're praying, hoping God won't let bad things happen to you. No, that's not faith. But you do have to guard your heart. You do have to be careful what you are letting in your eye gate, your ear gate, and your mouth gate, because you have to guard your heart. Jesus is coming back for the virgins whose lamp is filled with oil. And that parable, I do not want to be left behind. And we can't borrow the oil from others. Once he comes, he returns. You stay filled with oil by abiding, by guarding your heart, and keep peace in your heart. You know, our body has two reactions, depending on our personality, to fear: fight or flight. So is your hope, and that's what I say, as we watch the news, I mean, we need to know what's going on, but I'm telling you, do not digest and ingest a bunch of news, because it will affect your heart. And you have to stay in peace. And what did Jesus say also to keep us from getting out of peace and having this enemy mode is, what did he say? I just lost it. He said something. I know he did. He said, guard your heart with all... No, what did he say? Oh, I'm going to go on. He said something. It'll come to me. But hope is our vision. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for? You know, hope is just as important as faith. Hope comes from what we fix our gaze on. Do you know that your life will go in the direction of the dominant images in your mind? That's the power of our mind. Your life will go in that direction. That's why I'm saying, if you have a fight or flight response in your body, it's fear. So pay attention to that. All along Abram's journey, God would appear to him so he would not forget his hope. Abraham, look up at the stars, remember, because then he was doubting, and they said, Sarah had to go into my handmaiden and we'll produce Ishmael, which right now is still the problem. We're still having the consequences of Abraham going and trying to help God out. Abraham looked up at the stars so he wouldn't grow weary. What are you looking at? What are you looking at to not grow weary in this time where there's trouble all around us? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You know what that says twice? Faith comes by hearing, inner ear, and hearing, outer ear, the word of God. The word is nigh thee in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. What are you saying? You can locate what's in your heart by what you're saying. I'm saying pay attention, because death and life's in the power of the tongue. It was faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave. Amen. Because he was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations. The city designed and built by God. He had a picture. Every time God told him, look up at the stars, Abraham. Do you know what? We're pilgrims on this earth too. We have a city. You are a priest unto God. God has called you out. You have a job. You have a vocation. But more than that, you are a priest. You are where people in the world can come to meet God, because you are the tabernacle of the presence of God. You keep your lamp filled with oil so it oozes out, and you go out into the world, and people will meet God where you are. Philippians 3:20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, which also we eagerly wait for a Savior. This world and everything in it is passing away. It's but a vapor. If we were just saved to go to heaven, as soon as we got saved, we'd go. No, but there's something here. You're a bearer of God's presence. You are a bearer, image bearer. You are a fisher of men. He said to his disciples, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. If you are not a fisher of men, if you're not sharing Jesus, if you aren't being a light and loving those that are hard to love, because you know what? Anybody can love the lovely. We're not called to do that. We are called to love those that are hard to love. And every time you get around somebody that's hard to love, if the fight or flight kicks in and you want to get out of there, I'm telling you, it's a trigger. And you need to take that to the Holy of Holies and get your lamp filled with oil. We got to do this, guys. He's coming back. Among the many who profess to know Christ, the remnant is known that they judge themselves. Judgment begins in the house of God. Daily examine themselves before God. They remain vigilant, ready to meet the soon and coming King, who's coming back for his bride, which is a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that we should be holy and without blame. Okay, now here's where we get. Okay, I thought we were holy. Yeah, we are holy. See, we are saved. We're being saved. We shall be saved. He says, work out your own salvation while you're walking on this earth, that you'll take others with you. That you won't just affect, it won't just be just you and God, and you barely get in by the skin of your teeth. Let's affect people. The true disciple of Jesus never makes excuses for his sins. Instead, he repents, broken, contrite, and convicted, and readily admits his faults and sins in confession before the Lord. Are you angry all the time? Are you full of anxiety? Just go to God. And just own it and say, help Jesus, I need you, I need you. He said, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh an hour which you think not. For our present troubles are small, Paul said. When you think about his troubles, man, we're nothing. He was beaten and left for dead and thrown in prison and stocks and bonds. And he said, this is just a light affliction. And it won't last very long, yet they produce a glory that vastly outweighs them. Our job at this time is to keep our lamps filled with oil. How do we do that? Pay attention to what's coming out of your mouth. Pay attention to the emotions that are going on. Amen? Many times we say we believe, but what we do coincides with what we say we believe. We believe God's love and full of grace and that we're forgiven, but we beat ourselves up when we make a mistake. And we punish ourselves. And you know what? If you do that to yourself, you do love others the way you love yourself. You might be able to, you know, pretend, but if you don't let the love of God affect how you see you and aren't compassionate with yourself, to love God, to love others. Ourself and to love others. You know, I believe that discipleship is the reordering of our loves. We all have idols. We all have loves in our heart, things that make us feel secure. So God begins to reorder those loves. Just like Abraham, he said, take the son which you love and kill him. He's asking us, what do you love? What is he asking us to put on the altar? And as you do that, I'm telling you, you talk about faith and hope arising as you just give all of your stuff to him and own it and say, God, thank you for filling me. He cannot fill what's already full. So what do you see? This is my question that I'm going to end on. I'm not going to keep you so long. I know I've been really long-winded. But what do you see when you think about God's face looking at you? What is his eyes? Do you see his delight? What do you see? Because you know what we grew up with? It's called practical theology. If you grew up with, and those in authority in your life were stern and you never could do enough, and, you know, then we project that onto God unless we allow the Holy Spirit to go in there and heal that. Zephaniah 3, I'm going to end with this and one more scripture. The Lord your God is with you, a mighty warrior. He is your knight in shining armor. He takes great delight in you. Say this. Say, God takes delight in me. Say that. Do you believe that? Because he does. In fact, Zephaniah says he spins wildly in anticipation, all because of you. He shouts for, he sings joy and dances over you. But we have to get that from here to here. And the only way that we do that is to sit and listen in the presence of the Lord. You have to slow down and you have to get quiet. And I know it's hard. But I'm telling you, the blessing of just receiving his love. I'm going to end with this scripture. Uh-oh, what happened to it? Is it there? Jesus, you know, the way God disciples or aligns our loves is really through suffering more than anything else. We have to get a good perspective on suffering. We've been pretty spoiled. We like our comforts. You know, Jesus said, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus. But as we realize God, it's really suffering. And when things aren't going so well, that gets me on my knees. It gets me desperate for him. But I know the thoughts that I think toward you.
Yes.
Where are they? You can put that up. Jeremiah. Very last one.
I need you more.
I know the thoughts that I think toward you, God says. The Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. God does not think you are evil. He loves you with an everlasting love. He just wants you to come. Come with all your shame. Come with all your stuff. Just come. Come, all that are weary, and I'll give you rest. Don't carry it around. Don't stuff it. Don't pretend. Don't blame. Don't make excuses. Just come. His arms are open. When you call on me, he said, and go and pray to me, I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all your heart, there's aligning our loves right there. To love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our might, with all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. One commandment now. Forget about all those other laws and commandments and stuff. No, one commandment. God, help us to love you. God, realign our loves. Grow us up, oh God. Father, we want to be the virgins whose oil is filled, ready, waiting for your coming, for we know not when. But I thank you, Jesus, that we belong to you, that we are yours. Father, I ask today that the love of God would be revealed to your people this week, overwhelmingly experience the height and the depth and the breadth of your love and your goodness and your care for us, God. For that is our hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. So we come boldly to your throne, O God. Thank you, Father, today. Reveal yourself to us as we come before you every moment of every day. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening and have a good day.